This is Mythical.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
This is Dispatches from Myrtle Beach with Charles Neal and my son Link from Good Mythical Morning. How you doing, son?
I'm doing good, Dad. It's always good to see you. You look like you're doing good.
Yeah, doing good. Yeah. I got a little question to ask you. I kind of dressed up for the day for some reason. Do you know what today is?
For some reason? Well, honestly, you look nice, but I'm just going to be honest and say I couldn't tell that you were dressed up. I just thought you had on a nice shirt. I mean, do you have on pleated pants that I can't see? How dressed up are you down there?
It just stops right here. I got a pair of blue jeans on, you know, like that TV stuff we get.
Okay. The magic of podcasting. But to answer your question, no, I do not know why I should have dressed up.
Because today is the first day of spring. That's why I wore this flowery shirt.
Oh, really? That's today. As of the recording day. This is not the pretend day. This is our real day.
That's the recording day. That's right. The day it comes out. But when we recorded this, the day is the first day of spring. But it don't feel much like spring here today. But
I was looking through my weather app, you know, and I put other cities in it. I got Fuquay Arena in there, you know. Just if I still live there, what would the weather be like right now? And then I was like, well, if I went to Fiji again, what would the weather be like right now?
Oh, yeah.
So I was thinking maybe I need to put Myrtle Beach on my weather app just so I can keep an eye on how things are going there.
That'll be all right.
Happy start to spring.
I'll let you know.
Yeah, you'll let me know. I don't need to do that.
We keep doing this podcast. You'll know everything about Myrtle Beach. So
That's the goal. Or we could just make this podcast only about talking about the weather. There's something ironic about that. Like, well, you know, I talk to my dad pretty much every week, but all we talk about is the weather. You know, we could do that. We could just limit. No. Because how exciting could we make the weather?
We could probably make it pretty exciting.
That's right. But we don't have to.
But we know. We got better things to do for all our Myrtle Beasts we got to go over and do today. We got some stuff to go over that's going to really make them excited.
Oh, that's
besides
a tease.
The first day of spring. Yep.
You talk about the weather, though. I mean, I'm basking in the L.A. It's still rainy here, but like, and here I am talking about the weather still. But I just came off of snow week. You know, we went skiing. We went to Park City, Utah. So I got to give you a little update on that. We had a good time.
Yeah, I want to know because, you know, I text you and because I was worried about Lily, where she goes to school at, because where she goes is up above y'all, and they were having all that snow and that rain and flooding and all that stuff. You text me back and said, don't worry, we snow skiing in Utah. We're in good shape. I said, all right, then.
Don't worry, Dad. We're fine. We were up in Utah. We were skiing just like I told you. Didn't even know that California was still having weather.
So you went snow skiing with all the family. And
oh,
so
more than that. We took a crowd. There was 10 of us in a house. And then Lando's best friend and his parents and his best friend's sister, they were staying in another house, but they hung out with us all the time. Like, we went out to dinner. There were 14 of us. You know, that's a feat to have a dinner with 14 people. And everybody, at one point, I looked down the table because we were at the end, Christy and I, like, talking to our friends. And then our friend Alex made a comment. He was like, look down there. Everybody's having a good time. And it just felt really good to have, like, to put on this event. You know, we were celebrating. It was Lincoln's spring break for his senior year. And we had been skiing last year at the same spot. And I was like, Lincoln, what do you want to do for spring break? He said he wanted to go skiing again. And I found this house that could house some people. I was like, invite some friends. And I'm thinking, I'm going to be the hero dad.
All right.
That's because I'm like, you know what? You can invite four friends. They can all go skiing. And then Lily's able to come. And I'm like, Lily, you can bring your boyfriend. Lincoln's friend's parents were like, you sure you want to do this? I mean, this is great. Take my kid. But like, you got like a bunch of 17, 18-year-olds. We had a blast. And I ended up skiing for 4 days. I only busted my ass once. Like, literally, I busted my ass and on some ice. And it was, I had to lay there a minute. I had flashbacks to my collarbone. I was like, last time I just had to lay somewhere for a minute. I didn't get up in all in the same number of pieces. But my ass is still in two, well, I guess an ass is two pieces. Right.
Well, it's got two sides, yeah.
Yeah.
Two cheeks, anyway. I don't know if it's two pieces, but it's got two cheeks. Yeah.
So growing up, you hung out with your friends at the house. Was your house the place where your friends would hang out? And were your parents, Nana and Papa, were they the type to like know your friends and have them over or take them on trips?
Oh, yeah. When we were growing up, I mean, I had several of my friends that would come by and Nana'd fix supper and they'd stay and eat. And then when we'd go on vacation, I probably didn't get to take four people, but I always got to take one people when we'd take our yearly vacation to the beach. Teresa got to take somebody and I got to take somebody. So,
oh, that's cool.
I had a good mom and daddy that did a lot of stuff where they looked after us and took care of us and where we enjoyed growing up. Yeah, it sure did.
Christy and I like the idea of being the house that all of our kids' friends would come to. You know, that seemed like something. We wanted to be those type of parents. Like growing up, I had a friend, Michael, and his parents were really cool. They let us just hang out as long as we want. That's where we would always go. You know, so I wanted to be that. So it kind of, yeah, I wanted to be the cool dad who was like, yeah, I'll take all of you guys skiing. But just having everybody come over to the house, because then you can kind of come to conclusions about the friends. And if you want to enable that or not, you know, you can get to know them. You, and you can hear stuff. You can hear stuff. If they're not at home, if there's somebody else's house talking, you ain't going to hear stuff. So I like being that hub. So we had a good time.
Well, that's good. You, we were getting ready for the St. Patrick's Day Festival with Nancy.
Yeah.
And we had a, she had a great day, and I had four different people to come in and that
recognize you.
To come to get a picture with me and talk to me and some different stuff. And Stuart from the guy that works for the tourism department at Myrtle Beach.
Oh, yeah.
He come to see me. Me and him talked for a while. So it was a good day for me and it was a good day for Nancy. So
now, when all these people would come to see you, and they got a picture, would you insist that they buy some jewelry before you take a picture?
I didn't have to tell them a thing. The ladies that came would buy themselves or either with their husbands, they bought some jewelry.
Okay, good.
So I didn't even have to worry about it. They was already, hey, that jewelry draw them ladies right on in, and they knew that. I kind of mentioned that, you know, you might have to buy a piece of jewelry.
Yeah, you know.
I didn't even... Yeah, they all bought a piece of jewelry and went home with it and got a picture of me to take home. So it was fun.
Did she sell the Jaguar pendant that she showed me?
and I don't think she sold those. Had a lot of people look at them.
Nobody wanted.
Because she had two of them, but I don't think she sold a jaguar pendant.
Well, maybe she should have called it a lion. I don't know.
Yeah.
So she still got this. So she didn't sell out, but it was successful.
Oh, no, Lord. If she'd have sold out, it probably had to last for 2 or 3 days. But let me tell you what, Link, they was, I'm going to say, probably 15,000 people there.
Damn.
I mean, you couldn't even walk up and down the street. There were so many people.
And you only got recognized 4 times?
Well,
you got to get recognized more than that. We got to work. We got to put some more work in, Dad. That ratio is not good enough.
Well, it was pretty. Hey, I enjoyed it. I thought I was supposed to be in the background. Anyway, that was Nancy's day.
Maybe I need to start wearing one of them jaguar pendants.
You want me to send you one? You can wear it.
If I'm going to get you to wear a mullet, you can get me to wear a jaguar pendant.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to go back and get another trim the way it's grown back out. But
just on the top, Dad. Just the top and the sides, not the back.
Oh, I ain't going to get the back cut.
Okay, see? Good. Yeah, it's looking good. It's peeking out. It's peeking out down there. Got yourself a little mullet.
But you talking about me getting recognized this past weekend was the car show down here at Myrtle Beach. And there was like 3,500 old cars, anywhere from the 30s to the 70s.
And you were walking down the line saying, oh, this one's got a 4.3 liter. This one's got an 8.6.
Oh, no. I was walking down the line and said, that's a 396. This is a 502. That's a 327.
Right.
This is a 340 in the Dodge.
And you know the year of all of them. It's like... it's like a compendium of useless car information.
Oh, no, not for us old people that know all about these old cars. It ain't useless.
So what happened at the car show?
I had one guy from a Coastal Speed Shop come up. He just almost come running up, and he said, you're Link's dad, aren't you? I said, that would be correct. And he said, well, I've been watching him and Rhett for a long time. And I said, well, that's good. I said, but you ain't tuned in to Dispatches from Myrtle Beach yet? And he kind of looked at me and I said, oh, yeah, me and Link's doing a podcast and it's on YouTube now, Dispatches from Myrtle Beach. He got his phone out, put it in his phone, and then pulled it up. And he said, I got you now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start looking at it. So
no, he got that backwards. We got him now. We got him now. You're trapped. You're trapped in a dispatch.
I had some friends of mine that came from Sanford down there, and I hadn't seen them in a long time. And I carried them up to Bullinose to the IGA grocery store.
Oh.
It's got clothes in it. You can get fishing and hunting license there, everything. And they said, we got through eating. And Joey said, now, we got to have some ice cream. And they got a place right over there where you can get homemade dipped ice cream.
Ooh.
We went over to get some ice cream. And I still had my Good Mythical Morning shirt on. And I looked, the girl dipping the ice cream was probably 16 or 17 or something. And I said, do you know who these folks are, Good Mythical Morning? She says, well, I don't think so. I said, so you don't know who Rhett and Link are, and her eyes, Link, got that big. She said, oh, my God, you're Link's dad. I said, that'd be correct. And, hey, she just quit dipping ice cream for them people with me. She jerked her phone out and said, we got to take a selfie right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I told her about Dispatches from Myrtle Beach, and she wrote it down on a piece of paper. She said, well, besides watching them, I'm going to be watching you too. So I had a pretty good day. Yeah.
I love it. Bullinose. That sounds like a sponsor.
They got fried chicken and turnip greens. Of course, you don't eat them, but then they have turkey and dressing on Sunday, every Sunday.
Is this an almost ad?
Yeah, I guess it could be.
I guess it is.
But
Almost yeah. to add.
Well, I reckon we better move on along. Did you enjoy that?
I did enjoy that.
I enjoyed it.
So far, I'm enjoying everything. Thanks for checking in.
It's time for another edition of Myrtle Beach Mailbag. Well, I got some things for our mailbag, and I got an email from Mitch Lane, and it says, "What do babies and quarterbacks have in common?"
Let's see. I'm gonna start with the quarterback. Quarterbacks, they pass. Babies and quarterbacks, they scramble. Quarterbacks can also, they get hit. They take a hit. Do babies take a hit? No, yeah, let's not go there. I don't know, Dad. Have I said anything that's on the right track?
You're kind of close, but I'm gonna be right honest with you. I don't know if I understand. You're gonna have to help me with this answer. But it said okay. They both love TDs.
TDs. You know what a T?
Oh, okay. Yeah, they both love TDs. I get it.
TDs. Touchdowns.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Dad.
That's pretty good.
When the joke comes out of your mouth, sometimes it goes in your ear and you can hear the punchline. You can hear the comedy. Sometimes you have to say it in order to hear it.
Well, it worked this time. I don't know if it'll work on me the next time. But
all right, well, give me another one. Let's see.
I got one from Ben Troix. It says, "What did the fish say when he swam into a cement wall?"
Does it have anything to do with semen?
Uh-uh.
Okay, good.
No, not this time.
Yeah, I gotta ask. I gotta ask, right? Right. When you say, I don't know. What did the fish say when he ran into a cement wall?
Damn.
Because... Yeah, that's, yeah. See, I got that one. You came out of your mouth, it went into my ear, and I got it.
That's good. Okay, I got one from Margaret, and this just is something that they want me and you to let them know. It says, "What would you both put in your dream homes?"
Oh, dream home. I mean, I feel like you kind of built your dream home. Kinda. I mean, you designed your home from the ground up, but I mean, would you call it your dream home?
Oh yeah.
Well,
yeah, I kind of had a hard time with this one, but I got a few things that if I could do it again, I'd have to have another walk-in closet somewhere. So I'd have a walk-in closet and Nancy'd have a walk-in closet.
Oh, yeah. Me and Christy, we share a walk-in closet. And I swear, I mean, she keeps using my part of the closet. We have these things that, like, you'll pull them out and then you can hang clothes on them temporarily. And you might hang one or two things when you're like, oh, I'm gonna pick out this outfit. And I got one of those, and she's got one of those. It's a nice little walk-in closet. And then, lo and behold, she's always hanging stuff on my... Her hanger has 18 things on it. And then over on my hanger, my stuff's getting pushed on the floor. She's hanging stuff over there. And then I walk out of the closet, and we have a couple of chairs in our bedroom. And dadgum, if she's not always draping something... She said, I said, "Chrissy, you are a serial drapist." Every time I turn around, like, I see what you wore yesterday, and she's clean too, and she's organized. And it baffles me that she would drape so much. Like, I don't even know this woman that I married. Because the biggest compatibility we got, I think, we have a lot of compatibility, but like being orderly is I think we've saved a bunch of anguish because we're both we both have the same standards about like order, organization, and cleanliness. And it, I mean, when you're living with somebody, that goes a long way, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But here
yeah,
she
me
is.
And Nance is kind of.
I don't know what she's doing, draping.
Well, my side, I do get the, you know, I got a double rack. One rack's up here, and it's got all my shirts on it.
Okay.
And my sports coats for, like, to wear to church, or, and then I switch them out to a closet and
went the other for bedroom, seasons.
For seasons stuff. Okay. But then on the bottoms, I got my pants and my shorts hanging up. And then I go in there and one day and I say, hell, them ain't my pants.
Ah, right.
That ain't my coat. And it's down there where all my blue jeans and stuff are. And here she snuck her blue jeans and blue jean jacket down there on the bottom. Like, you don't need that, Eric.
It's called closet creep. That the clothes just creep on over. We need to have our own walk-in closets. What else are you going to put in your dream home?
Well, like I think you've got one outside, but I would love to have a hot tub. Mm. I'd love to have a hot tub. What? So when I come home from working sometimes,
just turn
that thing on, get in it, and just let these old bones get relaxed and get in there and just
soak.
Have a nice soaking time in it. So,
Dad, you need a hot tub, man. You need a hot tub. And, oh, gosh. Like, you know what? And you got something that I want, an elevator.
Oh, yeah.
Dream Home got to have an elevator, y'all. Don't skimp. Get yourself an elevator like Dad's got. So I got the hot tub. You got the elevator. I'd want an elevator.
Yeah.
Because building it from the ground, I mean, you rebuilt a home, the one that burned down. You had rebuilt that thing. What we talked about, that one was from 1905 or something.
Yep.
So, like, you had that kind of a dream home. Now you have, like, the beach dream home. You've been through a few dream homes. That's kind of nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it sure is.
Maybe a fireman pole, you know?
A fireman's pole.
A quick way to get down from our bedroom.
Yeah, and hey, you'd have that put in out there on the back, the deck out back, and slide down to the swimming pool.
I could get a slide put in down into the swimming pool. That would be awesome.
Oh, yeah, that's another idea. So you got a lot of ideas where you can venture into and see what you can talk Christy into about.
yeah, she's in charge of all that. That's true.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Tara asked, said, what was one of your favorite road trips you've ever taken?
Tell me about a road trip. I love a good road trip.
Well, I took a road trip way before me and your mama ever got married, and me and two other friends of mine, Jimmy Reed Ross and Ronald West, got on a motorcycle and left Lillington, North Carolina, and just headed to Florida.
Hold on. All three of you on one motorcycle?
Oh, no, we all had a motorcycle. Okay.
You made it sound like all three of y'all were on one motorcycle.
Oh, no.
How old were you? What are you talking about?
About 18.
Oh, wow.
We just packed up one day and got a couple pair of blue jeans and some shirts and got some stuff and rolled them up and got a sleeping bag and rolled it up and headed to Florida and said, we're going to go all the way to where you live. We're going to get all the way to Los Angeles.
What? Hold on. Florida's not on the way to Los Angeles.
Oh, it is if you're going to go to Florida and go across, then get on Highway 10 and just take your time. Because we didn't have enough money just to go to Los Angeles. We had to stop and work and make a little extra money and do some stuff while we were going.
You would get jobs?
Yeah.
What?
We didn't have a lot of money. We probably didn't have $300 to our names when we left.
So what did you do?
I worked at a gas station a couple of times and as, you know, a mechanic and working on cars and doing different stuff.
Where?
I can't even remember. One place was in Georgia and one place was down in Florida where we stopped and stayed, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 days. And
how do you do that? You just drive up like I'm going to get what kind of motorcycle are we talking about?
Well, I had a Honda 550 4 and the other two boys had Harley Davidsons.
Okay. And you would pull up your Honda 554 up to a gas station to get gas and be like, I can't afford this gas. You mind if I work here for a few days? And they're like, sure. Do you know how to fix stuff? You can be a mechanic too. What? How does that happen?
I didn't just pull up and get gas. I had enough sense to, you know, I had enough money to pay for what gas I was getting so I wouldn't get shot if I couldn't find something to do. But you could, it was, you know, back then it's kind of like it is now. You know, you go by all these places and it says help wanted.
Oh.
Well, you'd kind of look and see and they'd have a little sign stuck up there needing some help. And I'd ask them what they needed. And, you know, I told them what I was doing and they'd let me work a while. And but
And they pay you like in cash.
Oh, yeah.
And then you would be like in the breeze, gone again.
Yeah, then be gone again, driving for, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 days. But we made it all the way to Texas. But before we got to Texas, we stopped one night in a park in Louisiana.
Okay.
Took our sleeping bags off and was laid down in it. And it was like a state park or something. And we was laying down sleeping, and me and Jimmy Reed was sleeping pretty close to one another, and Ronald was over to us, and Ronald West was a bit, he still is, was a big boy.
Okay, big boy.
And I'm about 6'4".
Oh.
And we got woke up by a Louisiana Highway Patrolman.
Uh-oh.
And the words out of his mouth was, do you know where you boys are? And I said, well, I think we're in Louisiana. We're trying to get to Texas.
You didn't even know what state you were in.
And he said, well, all I can tell you is we don't allow people that ain't from around here to be sleeping in our parks.
Oh.
And the best thing for y'all to do is get up and be gone from here. Me and Jimmy Reed got up wrap thy sleeping bags around the sickle bar on the back seat.
Yeah.
And got what clothes, what little bit, and we didn't have much. And we left Ronald laying on the ground.
Big boy.
And I looked up in a little while, and you could see a little headlight coming down the road. And I kind of, me and Jimmy Reed slowed down, and I said, you know, if we let him catch us, he's probably going to beat the hell out of both of us.
You just ditched him.
So we went on down the road, and we finally got into Texas, and we stopped, and because we didn't stop before we got to Texas, I'm telling you. And we pulled over, and Ronald finally pulled up, and he says, I'm going to kill both of y'all.
I thought you were going to tell me that the highway patrol guy, that you were like, well, could you use a little help? I could become a highway patrol for a day or two, you know?
No. But we left and went on into Texas, and I got there, and I stayed about 2 days, and I told Ronald and Jimmy Reed, I said, boys, I about had all this. And this has been about 3 months.
3 months?
I said, yeah.
It took you 3 months to get to Texas.
Yeah.
Good God, man.
I mean, we stopped and worked and had to make some money to make it where we was going. Had to make money to eat.
Did you?
And we got to.
Oh, man, that's amazing. Did you journal?
No. I just, it's all in my head.
I think I knew the answer to that as I was asking it. It's like, every night I would pull out my sleeping bag and my journal. But that's an adventure, Dad. When you did it, did you feel like I'm just grabbing life by the horns, that I'm doing this for the adventure of it? Was it built up in your mind? Or was it just, we'll just go for a road trip. We might find some work along the way. Was it a big deal?
It wasn't really a big deal. It was years later, and like now, it's a pretty big deal to think we were that stupid to leave and not have enough money to make it from 1 week to the next. But, hey, you know, that was back in the
70s, you said.
In the early 70s, where you could go and not worry about getting shot, except for maybe by the Louisiana Highway Patrolman or something, or getting locked up.
Did you find any love, like a little bit of romance? Because that's the type of thing. It's like, oh, honey, I'm just blowing through town. I'll be here for a few days, and then I'm gonna put it in the wind. My hat don't hang on the same nail too long. You know what I'm saying?
We went to a bar or two, you know, while we was gone, and met a lot of nice people and stuff. Uh-huh. But you know, didn't really get hooked up with anybody because we weren't going to be there long enough to do that. I mean, we had to just kind of
keep on getting trucking. It.
Yeah,
I love that you did that and that you survived and Big Boy didn't kill you. So when you decided to turn around and come back, they were with that? They were like, all right, we'll go back too, or did they go on to L.A.?
Oh, no, they stayed. And as a matter of fact, Ronald West ended up staying and living and working on a ranch out there that had cows and stuff on it.
Really?
For, I think, about 3 years before he ever came back home.
Wow. So do you regret turning around?
No. No, I was ready to get back and get some good home cooking.
Mm-hmm. Get back to those turnips.
Yeah.
That's wild, Dad. I mean, that's almost hobo. You were almost hoboing it.
Well, sometimes when you're young, you do stuff and
just go with it.
And I ain't never regretted it. So it was a good thing.
That's pretty cool. That's badass.
Well, Link, you know, we've talked about a lot of stuff today, and I had some stuff that I wanted us to go over, but we're going to save that to another time because we had such a good time today.
Didn't we?
Talking about trips and your trips and everything.
Yeah.
Uh, Well, you know, it ain't like we got to be right on a schedule about anything. We can get right back into what people send us and what we want to do next week.
So. I love that. Yeah, when we got stuff to talk about, let's just talk about it. You know, we'll get to Texas eventually.
Oh, well, we've been to Texas.
And one of us will make it to L.A. and work on a ranch. Yeah, Dad, save whatever you have planned. That'll give us something for next week.
Yeah, well, we'll save it all to next week. It was fun having and being with you here again today, and y'all come on back next Tuesday and Thursday for another one. And if you got a joke or a question or a comment you'd like to share with me, email me at ratherbeshaggin53@aol.com. So have a great weekend, everyone. We can't wait to spin and your whirl again. And next week, we'll see what else we can get into.
Mm-hmm. Get some adventure in your life. And if you don't have any, then we'll give it to you vicariously. Dispatches from Myrtle Beach. It's kind of a tagline.
So have a good week. See you next week. Love you, son.
Love you, too. Bye. Guess he had somewhere to be.